Ask Catherine. Okay, a question about oil. We have peak oil and limited resources and have abiotic oil and renewable resources. With the fallback of the Anglosphere into North America, what is your best guesstimate of the reported oil reserves of eastern Montana and North and South Dakota? Is this a temporary patch of plundering or a long-term strip mine approach? Also, any thoughts as to why this approach was taken in respect to other objectives that may be more nuanced than the obvious ones? Thank you for your truthful approach to reality. Take care. I think if you're the Anglo-American Alliance and you're looking to maintain control, first using the reserves in the Middle East and globally, and then moving back to reserves here while you develop more and newer technology, is, you know, certainly fits with the building of empire. It makes sense to me. That's what I guess it is. How much they're depending or how long-lived the reserves are in North America, I suspect they are pretty long-lived, particularly if Europe does the same. There's a lot of resistance to fracking technology in Europe, but I would expect ultimately for fracking to work out there. So I suspect the reserves here are pretty long-lived. If abiotic oil turns out to be true, and I don't know that it is, the life is then even longer. Jim Gillespie, Catherine, you've mentioned that you've learned through your own investigation and study that we as a nation and as a world can have everyone living in total abundance if the powers that be really wanted it that way. Keeping this in mind, I'm assuming this means that all of the boom and bust that we've experienced, as well as the difficult economy that we're dealing right now, have been because the powers that be have wanted it this way. Is this correct? I would say, you know, I don't want to put everything on the powers that be, but there's no doubt about it that we have an extremely primitive culture, that the leadership encourages all sorts of boom and bust and divide and control and is harvesting the economy in very significant ways. If you want to understand how wealthy we are, you know, take a look at how much money has gone down the black budget and what it's paid for. And when you realize what we've been supporting without any kind of return on investment to us, it's really a testimony to how wealthy we are. So I don't think it's just the leadership. There's a lot of what I would call stinking thinking everywhere in the population. But I do think there is no economic reason that we don't have total abundance. I think our problems are political. And that's why I think there's no more important question to ask and answer than who's really in control and why are we behaving this way. Jim Sinclair, hi Catherine, Jim Sinclair sent out a video about public banking. What do you think? I put up an interview I did with Bonnie Faulkner to talk about solutions that were terrible ideas, one of them being B corporations and the other idea being public banks. The idea of giving the government even more subsidized credit so that they can steal away the market share of private local banks and credit unions, thus even more centralizing the economy and destroying more family wealth. I can't think of a worse idea. Anyway, but if you want to know more, check out the latest Bonnie Faulkner interview that we posted on the blog and is in your, it's sort of a special Solari report, and it's up on the Resource Center. Wondering about the meaning of this today, MoveOn.org just sent out an official vote opinion poll to its members. The polling question: should Move On support or oppose congressional authorization to use military force in Syria? This appears significant. Yes, Move On did do a poll, and I believe they got a 73% opposition. Another question, what about William Engdahl as a guest? We've had William Engdahl on before, and I would anticipate having him back as a guest. I think he's very capable and interesting writer on the sort of global geopolitics. Another question, I see that Richard Fisher, and he's the president of the Dallas Fed, is classified as one of the wealthiest Fed governors with a net worth of $21 million. While the market cap of J.P. Morgan is 10,000 times bigger at $190 billion, and it has no 5% or larger owners. So here's my question. Who are the banksters, and how much are they worth approximately, and how is it that they don't seem to control J.P. Morgan? I heard Jim Sinclair say that the headline news you hear are the banksters manipulating things don't seem to make sense to me, as the net worth seems to be dwarfed by people like Gates, etc. So who is actually manipulating, controlling Anglo-American finances? Finances are not controlled by who has money. Finances are controlled by who has the power to authorize people being killed with no, you know, above the law and with impunity. So if I have the power to kill with impunity, then I control. And so control works through physical force. It does not work through money. Money is certainly important, but I assure you there are a lot of billionaires who, in the scheme of things, are surprisingly clueless and surprisingly powerless, believe it or not. Okay, let me just check and see if there are more questions.